real, actual, legitimate, valid, undisputed, the real thing. And we talked about genuine faith works. James wants his people to know that genuine faith works, that genuine faith shows itself. Genuine faith works when trials come. Genuine faith works when temptation comes. Genuine faith works to love those who are different than us. Genuine faith works to control the tongue. Genuine faith works in prayer. And the last two verses of James tells us that genuine faith works in reaching out to those who have strayed from the truth. We are responsible for one another. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. James wanted to be so sure that his readers had genuine faith. We've seen that it's possible to have a dead faith, even a damning faith. And James wants to be so sure that his readers are not deceived about their salvation. Jesus spoke of the same thing in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. One commentator put it this way: it's possible to be a professor and not a possessor, a hearer and not a doer. So James writes to describe genuine, real, living faith. A person could outwardly respond to the gospel and yet never change. So James wants us to examine our own faith and then pursue those who may have strayed from the truth. And maybe you've been here these past 10 weeks and you realize you don't have genuine faith. Could I encourage you today to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone? James puts it this way: submit to God, draw near, humble yourself, and the promise? God will draw near to you. He will exalt you. I love James 4:6. He says, he gives a greater grace. So wherever you are today, I want you to remember that he gives a greater grace. We've also seen that James sounds more like Jesus' teaching than any other New Testament writer. I mentioned the very first week I was here that there was lots of parallels between James and the Sermon on the Mount. Have you heard it these past few weeks? James tells us to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward." James tells us to let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. And Jesus said, "You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." James writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously." He goes on to say, "Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above." Jesus said, "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask him?" James warns us about anger. "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Jesus warns about anger. "Everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." James tells us, "Judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy." Jesus states it in the positive: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." James asks, "Can a fig tree produce olives or a vine produce figs?" Jesus asks, "Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they?" James tells us that the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." James warns that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Jesus taught, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other." James writes, "He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law. Who are you to judge your neighbor?" Jesus said, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged, for in the way that you judge, you will be judged." James reminds us, You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. I love this. Jesus said, so don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. James writes, your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted. It is in the last days that you've stored up your treasure. Jesus warns, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. One more. James, but above all, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no is to no. Jesus said, but I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. But let your yes be yes and your no be no. All right, you got the idea, I think. Why do you suppose that James sounds so much like Jesus, more than any other New Testament writer? Maybe because he'd known him all his life, although he didn't become a believer until after the resurrection. As I began to think about this, I thought, how do we begin to think and talk and act like Jesus? It's not like we can share a bunk with Jesus, as perhaps Jesus did. I think there's a hint in James 1:21. He says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The word implanted. Implanted. I looked that up in the Help Word Studies, and it explains it this way. That word implanted means placed in, which enables something to develop. It's only used one time, and it's in James 1:21. Placed in, which enables something to develop. The word implanted enables development. Don't you love that? Can I encourage you to implant God's word in your heart so that you will be able to live a life of genuine faith? I'd like to share with you the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to think back to all the many times that you've read James these past 10 weeks, at least a bazillion times, right? And I think you'll hear how James had echoed much of his master's teaching. See if you can hear James in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be guilty before the court, shall be liable before the court. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent does not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oaths at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond that is of evil. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room and close the door. and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you're not to be like the Gentiles. Do not use meaningless repetitions like the Gentiles, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others their transgressions against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face like the hypocrites, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in heaven. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or your body as to what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil or spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, tomorrow's thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of a measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. For what man is there among you, if his son asks for a loaf, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he would not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that your words do have authority. And we thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we've had these past 11 weeks to study your word, to study in James, to be hearers and not doers, to be doers and not just hearers of the word. And Lord, we thank you for the strong foundation that you have given us so that when the winds and the rains and the floods come, we can stand firm. Lord, we love you. We love your word, and I just pray you would continue to implant it in our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.